do 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's do 20 minutes. So...
And we're going to come to Caspian.
Caspian and Sebastian have been making their way through the woods nearing the ice castle. And as Priscilla had informed the other owls, Caspian, even though he couldn't see anything, he could hear and sense that there was a large number of wolves that were surrounding the woodland area. And he had been aware of the fact that this growing danger had been unseen, but now hearing the amount that there was very alarming to him. He had imagined that when he was going to find out this meeting, that perhaps there would have been 5 or 6 other contenders in this war. But he strains his ear to try to notice exactly how many wolves there are, and it's hard for him at first. He can't really discern how many there are, but as he continues, he knows the sound of Sebastian's steps by now. Very familiar, the little arrogant trot that it is. But he also, to his alarm, notices something else about these wolves. These wolves were not the wild type that he had encountered. These wolves had more cunning. They had more self-control. They were not blundering around like a bunch of wild hunting hounds. They had caution. They had sense. And they had far more of a stealthful hunting instinct. Caspian was trying to discern exactly where he was in order to try to leave some sort of a signal behind. And unfortunately, Sebastian was a very clever guide and made sure that the route that he was leading Caspian was very elaborate and elongated. He did not want His Highness to be able to catch his bearings and to find any way of, well, any way of means of escape. Although they were heading towards the Ice Castle, he wanted to make sure that Caspian did not find his way out. At least that is what Caspian assumed, for Caspian was pretty familiar with the Western Woods. He had hunted there many times with the Pevensies. And as he's going and hear the occasional rustle and heavy breathing and growl of a wolf close, but not too near, Caspian begins to realize they'd been walking around the woods for far longer than they should have. And as they're nearing, what he tried to figure was at least 1/2 mile from that high bluff that looked over the Beaver's Dam. They had been working their way through those crevices for quite some time. And the cliff sides were their own fortress. Caspian continued to smell. And he did so discreetly, for he knew that Sebastian, well, although acting as though he was an oblivious guide, he knew that Sebastian was observing him very carefully. So Caspian was trying to catch the scent of exactly what trees were nearby. And he could tell that they had already passed through the grove of spruce and the towering pines that were near the opening. That's how he knew that they were entering into the canyon bluff near the Beaver's Dam. And now, as he smelled, there was nothing but frozen and fresh snow. No trees for the past 10 minutes. And he began to wander a little bit further to the side, while still keeping direct pace behind Sebastian. to suddenly hear a, "I wouldn't get that close." Sebastian and Caspian stop short. He hears a muffled groan under his breath. And a small hand takes Caspian's and pulls him away. "There's a cliff side, you fool. You will fall into your death." Caspian shudders at the thought. But, continuing his external air, says nothing. And, with an annoyance, "You didn't think to warn me? I didn't think you'd wander around. I'm right in front of you. There's no need for you to go exploring. Unless there's something else you're looking for," he says suggestively. "No, I'm just losing my patience. It's taking us forever to get there." "Well, keep up, and we'll go much faster if I don't have to keep an eye on you. I can't see, remember? You're smart. You're a good hunter. You're good at tracking things, I know this. Use your senses, all of them. That's what you keep trying to tell Edward." And Caspian is stunned. Those were comments that he had made to Edward on hunting trips together. Sorry, Edmund, thank you. And it begins to dawn on Caspian just how true those words of Sebastian's were, that he had been observing and watching Caspian for quite some time. Not that Caspian didn't believe him, of course, but that comment made it very apparent to him how accurate and how invasive and for how long Caspian had been being observed and monitored. The cold was beginning to set in even deeper, and Caspian could hear the pattering of the wolves becoming more condensed as clearly more and more were following them into the canyon. Caspian, at last, starts to hear other noises in front of them. They had been marching for close to 2 hours, and he was starting to realize how much of wasted time was intentional on Sebastian's part. But he was confused. Sebastian had seemed authentically irritated at the fact of how long it was going to take them, and yet here he was, intentionally going around in circles.
"I think he's afraid."
"I think he is." And Caspian, therefore, is thinking to himself that there are several possibilities for this. One of them, as you say, Sebastian is afraid. He's trying to buy time, he's trying to think of reasons and excuse. And secondly, no matter how much Sebastian might play the card of that he sort of accepts that Caspian is intending to go traitor, this activity of his shows Caspian that Sebastian is not to be trusted, and that he can see that Sebastian has no interest in believing that Caspian is anything other than loyal to the Pevensies. Inwardly, Caspian sighs with annoyance. If his host that's taking him to this meeting is so aware and confident of how Caspian works, well, it'd be just as well to say that Caspian's cover was already blown before he had gotten there. He realizes he would have to act even more aggressively anti-Narnian, for want of a better phrase, if the rest of these enemies were going to be convinced at all that there was the slightest chance of him changing sides, or at least having interest to. The snow stuck heavily on Caspian's boots as he trudged higher and higher, and his feet sank deeper into the snow. And all of a sudden, a harsh, cold blast hit him in the face from the northeast. And he closed the cloak around himself, and from the feel of the blast, he came to realize that they were up very high. Now, as I said before, says Sebastian harshly, you stay here. Don't think of going anywhere. And Caspian laughs. Well, where do you think I would go? I don't know. I'd probably panic and run. And Caspian smiles with a smirk. I don't think I've learned to panic. I'm not the panic type, am I, Sebastian? Well, there's a first for everything, isn't there? And what do I do with this? He points to the blindfold. Don't you keep it there. And Sebastian nervously looks about. All right. I am going to go ahead. And Caspian crouches down to his level, even though he can't see him. What about your end of the bargain? Look, I brought you here. You did your part, I did, and don't you forget that. I have it. All right, so we're even, we're square. No, we're not. I am not in that meeting yet, and you make sure that they believe that I want to be here. Sebastian smirks. Oh, I know that you want to be here, Caspian. And Caspian lunges forward, and to Sebastian's shock, with a surprisingly accurate aim, grabs Sebastian's shoulder. Do not play these games with me, or I will throw you off the cliff myself. You wouldn't. He struggles. Get off! And Caspian is unable to see, and he cries out, for Sebastian gives him a terrible nip in the hand. Caspian goes, after grabbing his hand, he goes to lunge forward in a sort of punch towards Sebastian, which of course Sebastian is able to scurry out of the way. Caspian, of course, knew that he would, and it was not a full-bodied punch, or he would not have missed. But he did want to show some sign of aggression in retaliation to such a low-handed deed while Caspian's unable to see. You know what? I don't know how much I can trust you. You... What is the point of you going ahead of me anyway? What are you going to say? I'm going to give them the opportunity to be able to come out and talk to you themselves if they want to, or what? Throw me off the cliff before I can do anything about it? No, I want to explain things before you just get shot on sight, remember? Why would they shoot me on sight? Well, I wouldn't exactly say you're friendly company. Well, you make sure that they understand that. Yes, wait.
Did you cut out?
Oh, no problem. So, Sebastian says that, well, I wouldn't say that you're friendly company, as far as why Caspian would get shot on sight.
Oh. And Caspian
says, well, you make sure that they understand that I am. And Sebastian is still angry at the shoulder grab of Caspian's. And he realizes that it wouldn't really take much of anything for Caspian to remove the blindfold when Sebastian is not watching. So, before Caspian can do anything to protest, he feels that Sebastian binds his wrists, and Caspian goes to lunge away, and in such a force that he nearly could have lifted Sebastian off the ground. But unfortunately, Sebastian had the foresight that Caspian, as he tugged, he felt, "You traitor!" he hisses. The rope had been securely bound to a rock before Caspian had a chance to do anything about it. And so, Sebastian was now at peace, that there would be nothing to worry about, as he left and tried to explain things to his friends. And Caspian was secure. He was smart, but he was secure. And Caspian lunges back, and as he tries to fight against the ropes, furious at Sebastian and calling him a traitor, and his arrogance, and everything, all the risks that Caspian taken to get here. And Sebastian, look, Your Majesty, I know you know that I'm not convinced of your sides, but be that as it may, believe me when I'm saying, This is for your own good, and unfortunately I can't trust you to stay here in one spot. Caspian pulls and tries to release his wrist. You understand, Sebastian, that this is not exactly helping my trust for you. I didn't expect there to be any, Your Highness, to be perfectly honest, and I don't know how the two of us made it this far to my own surprise. I was expecting at any moment for you to pull a sword out from behind my back. And Caspian lets out a laugh. You are so suspicious, Sebastian. You know, a little trust will do you good once in a while. And little common sense. If I killed you, I wouldn't be able to find where I needed to go. Yes, so you keep telling me. But all you'd have to do is find another enemy of Narnia. And Caspian stops. At what price? You were right there. I helped you and you owed me. It was an easy way in. You know your way in. Well, we all have to look after our own skins, Caspian. We all have our own way of doing it. Now I know that I won't have to worry about my skin if you come barging in or see something that you're not supposed to. I'm sorry for this, but you leave me no choice. You're far too aggressive. You were planning on this all along, Caspian realizes. Yes, I was. There's no way I could have told you about it. That's why I led you here. I knew there was a stash. And I knew this was a perfect place to keep you. Well, before you freeze, or I freeze, he says, shuddering, I best begin to speak with our hosts. Alright, so what kind of time do you have again? Can you hear me? Oh, man. Poor Francis. Keep going then, and you can listen to the conversation as it happens. And I wanted to ask, what kind of time do you have?
I can do 3 minutes.
3 more minutes?
It was around 15 minutes when it glitched.
Okay, great. Alright, so, Sebastian makes his way down the path. And to the left is a very tall, towering cliff that is cutting off from the western woods and the entire rest of Narnia. And over to the right-hand side, there's the open lake. And in the distance, one can see the glimmer of the half-melted castle of ice. Sebastian looks back and sees and can barely see the wolves collecting in the western woods. And as he trudges through the snow to a small opening, gathering, he hears, "What took you so long?" Sebastian sharply looks up to see the mangy owl. "I had more important business, far more business danger than you had to deal with." The owl ruffles his feathers. "That's a matter of opinion, Sebastian. I see you've been sitting comfortably from one warm host to another." Sebastian mutters, "Hardly a host. You would have no idea. You have no idea what I've been through these past few days." "I see you brought company. Was that intentional? Or did he have a knife to your back the entire time?" Sebastian sharply looks up. "You inferring something?" A smile creeps across Simon's face. "Not in the least. That's up for you to answer. You need a few clarifications, Sebastian. We all know how friendly you are towards those owls." "Hardly! Not anymore, that's all cut off." "Really? Well, that's a bit sudden." "Yes, well, it's been coming for some time. Where is everyone else?" "Well, they've all been waiting for you." "They haven't gotten started?" "Oh, well, I didn't mean really waiting for you. No, we've got started. But we have been kind of curious what's been holding you up." "Yes, well, I got detained by the owls, the filthy lot." "What do you mean by detained?" Sebastian's fumbling for words. He means," comes in a voice, "he means that he got discovered." Sebastian's blood freezes. "And I nearly secured that he wouldn't be able to make it out. And they almost discovered about me. Isn't that right, Sebastian? And Sebastian...
Right, Dan.
And Sebastian sees...
Dan, forgive me.
There's Jerome.
Dan, Jerome.
And I guess that's 20 minutes, so I guess that's where we'll stop. But...
So, I guess he still loves me.
What?
I guess he didn't some Dan.
Text it to me. You're breaking up.
I guess Jerome still wants him dead, huh?
I guess so. We'll have to see what happens.
I will say this, though. I can't wait to see Erasmus deal with Jerome.
Yeah. Erasmus would be pretty upset about Jerome. Yeah.
One of the fights of the century, but I digress. Anyway, I'll see you around. This is fun as always.
Oh, great. Thanks, Francis. Oh, by the way, I know that I'm going to be very busy tomorrow night. It's not going to work. Okay. Do you want to plan for Saturday?
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Yeah, let's aim for that. Oh,
thank you.
Saturday's Gina's birthday. Might be up late. Well, in any case.
Saturday's Gina's birthday. Well, why don't you guys come on over? We rarely see you guys anymore.
Well, thanks, Francis. Well, I don't know if on the day is going to work, but we'll definitely have to work something out. Yeah.
Of course. Besides, it'd be a lot more easier to do Wimbles in person instead of having to deal with the stupid static of the phones.
True enough. But listen, I should let you hop off to bed. I'm glad we were able to get as far as we could.
Indeed. I'll see you around. Thanks, Teresa.
No problem. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Today is May 21st, 2026, 10:59 p.m.